How about we turn to page 522 in War on Sound?
All right, I'm doing it.
And there's on that page, I think, is a passage that captures a lot of what you would, in part, some of the stuff you were just talking about, but gets at it in a more profound and a profound way, not just about music, not just about the music industry, but about what it's like to be an artist, or what it's like to, be a person these days.
Yeah, and I think, first of all, somebody heard you say page 522, and they were like, what? How many pages? That's the very end, kids. At least we know that's the very end. But yeah, it's this one 4 years in the making, dude. I wrote this in 4 years.
Yeah.
So yes, I will say, I'll just read the passage, and then I'll say say something about it. All right. They are, of course, not really even talking about what they're talking about. They've done what they were supposed to do, roll with bad fortune, build anew, learn fresh goals, and prize their presumptive freedom. They are far from home, and now again, maybe it doesn't matter what they think. The constraints of this life feel, in this moment, the same as their old constraints. And maybe what it boils down to is they are minor in minor times. To fret and struggle and be inside one's own head 24/7, making plans and trying to do brilliant work, requires something resembling ego. In fact, it is to presume one's essentialness. So it's the truest insult imaginable to devote all that time and excavate one's soul and then realize the results only aspire to footnote status. Yes, art should be for its own sake, but it turns out the delusion necessary to create the thing also tends to build expectations that the world will understand how indispensable the thing is. When that doesn't happen, that is a truly special kind of punishment. And dude, like, I get worked up reading it. Mm. I still get worked up reading that passage. So, like, I got a lump in my throat reading it right now. And it's only the 100th time.
And I mean, leading up to that is, in a way, the story of the entire book, in which they have formed this band and then made some compromises, and then even then those compromises not necessarily paying off.
Right.
But talk more about, you know, why the lump in your throat, why you get, and it's rage, it's regret. Oh, yeah. Is it?
It's sadness, but it's, I mean, I think all rage is probably sadness at its core, right? It feels like rage at first, but I'm sure it's just frustration and sadness. And you know, when I'm writing about music in this book, I'm also writing about writing in this book.
Yep.
It's so easy to go I think there's a really, really clear line to be drawn between the literary fiction writer and the rock musician, given our relative states in the world. And I have briefly, I'll get back to it, but there's a point earlier in the book where Scott is talking to a journalist, and they're both coming up with jobs that are totally extinct. And one of them says, a department store perfume squirter, and someone else says, the other guy says, payphone repairman. Right. And then they go, yeah, and I'm a rock musician and you're a journalist, right? They're completely obsolete. And it's feels like a literary fiction writer is very similar. And the feeling that I get from reading that passage, and I remember where I was when I wrote that passage, and I remember I was like in a coffee shop when I wrote just that passage by itself in its own Word document. And it wasn't about this book. It was about me and about what it's like to be a literary fiction novelist and not writing, you know, Stephen King novels, or not writing 50 Shades of Grey or whatever, or Harry Potter. And I am not getting mad at anybody for liking those things, but it's not what I do.
Yeah.
It is a special kind of punishment to feel one's lack of essentialness when you have to focus and be so determined to write a novel.
Right.
You have to do it over such a long period of time, and it takes such single-mindedness, and it almost is to presume one's essentialness, because otherwise, why are you doing it?
Right.
And then to have the system say, that's not what we value anymore. Sorry. That dream that you had, we don't really value that. And then to know, as I think becomes clear throughout the book, that the quote-unquote system that's made this decision has made it arbitrarily, and it's a bunch of pretty stupid people, sheep, essentially, making that decision, who basically just looked at last night's sales, right, and decided that doesn't sell anymore, right. So no. There's a key question in our culture, which the Juggernaut, I think, tries to get at, which is it that, and it's been the question forever, so this is not a revolutionary statement, but is it that the market is demanding shit, so we have to give them shit?
Right.
Or is it that we're giving them shit because it's easy and the market kind of will take whatever we give them?